Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 8. In this chapter, we are taught the benefits and value of wisdom under the sun, as well as its limitations. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses of this chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Let's begin our study of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 with some background notes. We've seen thus far in our studies of Ecclesiastes that life is a big zero if you don't see it from God's perspective. That is, under the sun, apart from divine revelation, life is futile. It doesn't make sense. What possible meaning or true happiness can you get out of life if in the end you just die like the animals and cease to exist? Without God and the truth of his revealed word, there is no reason for living. You're just delaying the inevitable. Not a trace of you will be left, not even a memory. How an atheist can find reason for living is beyond me. They're either not really truly atheists or, you know, they've kissed their brains goodbye. But we know, and Solomon knew, that what we observe and conclude under the sun is not the whole story. God does exist, and he has revealed truth from above the sun, and life is worth living, and you can be truly happy, and you can live life joyously when you believe and see life and live life in line with God's viewpoint from above the sun. Chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes was very practical in this connection. Here we saw some good, wise counsel for living and areas to avoid if we would please God and enjoy life as he intended it. Now here in chapter 8, we continue with more wise counsel for living. Again, this chapter is very practical when interpreted properly in the overall context of Ecclesiastes. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Doctrinal point number 1, wisdom under the sun has its benefits. Wisdom under the sun has its benefits, verses 1 through 9. Notice in verse 9 that Solomon uses that significant phrase, under the sun. Verse 9, all this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. So let me summarize what Solomon is teaching here in these verses that we just read. Verses 1 through 9, in the light of Ecclesiastes and in the light of all of Scripture. We know that for the big picture, we must have divine revelation and wisdom from above the sun. But even with wisdom under the sun, there are benefits and certain common sense principles on how to govern your life properly. Number 1, you have better understanding of matters concerning life, and you act accordingly. Verse 1, who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? For example, even wise unbelievers saw the present financial crisis coming and protected their investments. Wisdom under the sun has its benefits. Number 2, when you wisely submit to governing authorities and don't revolt or dispute the word of the king, life goes easier for you. Verses 2 through 5. This wise counsel under the sun is actually commanded in the divine revelation from above the sun in the New Testament. Read Romans 13, Titus 3, and 1 Peter 2 in this connection. I'm reading Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And from Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. A third benefit of wisdom under the sun is that you understand that there is a time and place for everything. Verse 6, and you know that you cannot control the future. Verses 7 and 8, and you know that you reap what you sow. Verse 8, even unbelievers with common sense understand these logical and moral principles that operate in this world under the sun where oppression and abuse of power exist. Verse 9, so human wisdom is not to be despised. Wisdom under the sun does have its benefits. But, and now comes doctrinal point number two, wisdom under the sun has its limitations. Wisdom under the sun has its limitations, verses 10 through 17. Human wisdom, apart from divine revelation, can only go so far. It is limited. Only from above the sun can you live properly in light of these limitations. Now, what are some of these limitations? Number one, there are apparent exceptions to the law of retribution, verses 10 and 11. Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The wicked get honorable burials, and their wickedness is forgotten. This delayed judgment only encourages more evil. What's the answer here anyway? Let's read verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner does evil 100 times, and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. Only when we realize that ultimately, in the end, the wicked will be judged and the righteous will be rewarded, verses 12 and 13. Only then does it make sense. But this conclusion, of course, requires wisdom from above the sun. Apart from divine revelation, we would not understand why so often in this life the righteous suffer what the wicked deserve and the wicked receive the benefits the righteous deserve, verse 14. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Number two, a second limitation to wisdom under the sun is that it cannot comprehend the ways of God. One more time. A second limitation to wisdom under the sun is that it cannot comprehend the ways of God. Verses 16 and 17. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. We saw back in chapter 3, verse 11, that God has purposely hidden and not revealed all of life's mysteries. So it certainly stands to reason that no matter how hard a person under the sun tries to understand the enigma and mysteries of life, and regardless of how wise a person is under the sun, that person will never understand the ways of God. If anyone had a chance, it was Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. But he acknowledged that it was beyond him, as Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, the Lord said through Isaiah, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. Wisdom under the sun has its limitations. And now for practical application. Don't practice Epicureanism based on Ecclesiastes. Epicureanism is the philosophy advocating a hedonistic lifestyle. More pleasure, less pain. It's after the ancient philosopher Epicurus. Now look at verse 15. "So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun." Now, is this verse teaching Epicureanism or Epicurean hedonism because of the despair of not being able to figure out life's mysteries? No, far be the thought. It is the same positive approach that we saw back in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 5. Let's read those verses again. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God." Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage or portion. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage or portion and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." Chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. When God is brought into the picture and we get the divine perspective of life from above the sun, we see that even though there will be problems in this life and situations that seem unfair and circumstances that we can't figure out and wonder why God allowed such things to happen and mysteries of life that are beyond us, still we do not have to live miserable lives of despair. But we can approach life as a gift from God, and we can live joyously and be happy and plan to have good times together. And we have the rest of the Bible and all that God has revealed to guard us and guide us in all areas as we enjoy the life that God has given us. This is a far cry from hedonistic Epicureanism. Don't practice Epicureanism based on Ecclesiastes.